Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The lesson for today, the text for today is the gospel lesson we just heard. They were arguing about who was the greatest. And of course, self wants all. And self can barely see any other way. And it comes right on the heels of Jesus' statement, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus speaks of his passion, and immediately the disciples begin an in-depth discussion of themselves. Who is the greatest? Well, greatness is a term with a lot of colorful shades. There's great in the sense of having what others have, but then having a little bit more to set myself apart. There's great in the sense of having enough admiration and attention to satisfy me, and certainly that means a little more than other people that I know. There's great in the sense of, even though there's a lot that I could be doing for others, you know, the kind of things that get little or no recognition, I can't and I won't do them because, after all, who's going to notice? And so our Lord's question, what were you arguing about on the road? And he knows the sad condition of his disciples. Worldly greatness, power, position, popularity, and he catches them. But they kept quiet, out of embarrassment, I suppose. And here they were in the presence of the greatest servant ever, and their attention was on personal, worldly gain. And note, this is a mirror that asks us to look at ourselves. We're in the presence of the greatest servant ever, and what gets in our way? Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Not just a servant, but servant of all. So if you want to be first, if you want to be truly great, you must be a servant. And the fact is, what Jesus says isn't exactly what we had in mind. We don't think this way. We think in terms of big. We think in terms of prestige and in terms of power over others. And it's a bit overwhelming, especially in our age and in our culture. Greatness is service. Greatness is serving all, being a servant of all, and doing so sacrificially. Greatness is Christ loving a people who would ultimately hate and reject him. Greatness is Christ stooped low, washing the feet of sinful disciples, all of whom would reject him in the garden. Greatness is Christ marching into Jerusalem, knowing that he would be arrested, falsely charged, and crucified. Greatness is his knowing all of this would happen and marching into it anyway. Not because he was out of his mind, but because he was set about the task of his Father, set about the task of paying for our terrible, sinful, self-centered lives. And he did all of this for you, for his people, for people who are steeped in sin, for one who is far less than perfect, for people who are so very inconsistent, who are filled with self-contradiction, who stumble in sin so consistently and live lives counter to God's desire. He did this for me. He did this for you. He speaks to us. "For the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." He speaks to us. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And we see him there for us. And we hear him. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And that's us. It was us because of our sin. He came after us, and he grabbed us from the fire of God's wrath, and he fights for us. He loves us, and yes, he was and he is our servant, the servant of all. And he still serves. And he washes us clean, our sin taken away in a life-giving bath. He feeds us forgiveness and eternal hope in his blessed sacrament, and he reveals to us and speaks to us of eternal love and life in his holy word. And then he helps us to understand our greatness. He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arms. He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." As Christ's people, the seemingly insignificant things and tasks are truly great. Embracing and caring for a child in the name of Christ requires love and requires self-sacrifice, and to do so is truly great. We might demean, we might trivialize a lot of simple day-to-day activities, but when we view them in the context of Christ's people, to be a devoted parent, to be a faithful and devoted husband or wife, a faithful worker, a faithful son or daughter, this is what we're called to do, to reach into the lives of our neighbor with the very love of Christ, to serve our neighbor. And yet our flesh can't comprehend such greatness, and so we run back to Calvary. We always do. And there we see our Lord serving up his body and blood for the sin of the world, for yours and mine. Everything we see and everything we hear is filled with love and service poured out to poor sinners. And that means that climbing to the top of the heap or getting our way or a lifetime pursuit of satisfaction and pleasure, turning away from sacrificial service, well, somehow all of that simply doesn't add up in God's scheme of things. Rather, you are his. He makes you his own. He has declared you to be so, and he sees you as his own. And true greatness then is to belong to the one whose service never fails. And though it isn't exactly what we had in mind, it is most certainly what he had in mind. And that is true greatness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.